Hour number two here on Four's Company, Saturday mornings here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. Jake Lyman, Nick Keiser, Nick Frazier, and Connor Newt with you. You can jump in as well. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Be sure to call or text. We've got about an hour until the NFL draft resumes. We'll talk about the Titans day three. Five picks today for Tennessee. Only have had two so far, so plenty of picks to be made for Rand Carthon and company. We'll also talk some baseball, but the story of the weekend, the Preds are in town in the playoffs, fell in a tough one last night, 2-1 to Vancouver. That's now the series score as well, 2-1, Vancouver leading Nashville. Guys, game four, it's not a must win. Your season still continues, even if the Predators lose tomorrow, but man, does it feel like if the Predators lose, that they're going to be in a real tough spot to get back into the series.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And just to kind of go through last night, Jake, you had the great stat earlier that I also threw on our grid, I believe. But look, 12 shots by Vancouver in a win, that's unbelievable. And they played great defense. They flipped the script completely on Nashville. They sat on that one. Oddly enough, and Frazier, you got the watch last night. I don't know how much you watched of game two when the Predators won. It really did feel like in a soccer game when you are getting that early goal or you take a goal and it's maybe close to halftime, right after halftime, you just get back. Then the rest of the game, it's you just sit on it. And you're
like
sitting on
the
it.
Bus.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, that's exactly
and,
how I felt.
Yeah, and I think that's what the series has been, and it's been inconsistent in that way, shape, and form of why is this happening? Why are these teams deciding to sit on these leads? And they're small leads. And Vancouver was the best first period team in the NHL this year. I mean, they showed it last night, but I felt like they parked the bus, like you said.
Yeah, that exactly right about game two. It just like they got the lead, they parked the bus, and then like last night for me, and kind of looking forward to game four, the puck handling wasn't on point for the Preds last night.
I thought they did too much of it.
Yeah, there was too much, you know, extra, I guess, pizzazz and sprinkle to every...
The razzle-dazzle.
Yes.
And just to go by period a little bit, so this is in all situations. The Preds had 12 scoring chances for in the first, 8 in the second, 13 in the third period. Vancouver had 5 in the first, 11 in the second, and 2 in the third period. In all situations.
The last two games, it's felt like the team that won was just holding on for dear life for the last 10 minutes. Like, chance after chance for the team that was down, and none of them would go.
It was unbelievable.
It was crazy last night watching the Preds. Every time they got the puck down deep, I thought it went in. And every time, Ryan O'Reilly just missed on that 5-on-3.
That was unbelievable. It went off of Ian Cole's head. I could not believe that.
Who was the it was Zucker. The puck trickled by and then just took a left turn instead of going into the goal.
Oh, man, that's the worst feeling, too. And those pucks, they're frozen, they bounce, it happens.
What about the one that stopped in the crease?
Yeah, right? That's what he's talking about.
That's what he's talking about.
From Zucker. It snuck through underneath like the armpit of DeSmith.
This is a great shot.
Watching it on the broadcast, it was rolling towards the goal and just took a left turn and stopped.
It was like the
roll. I couldn't
believe it. It was the roll. It was just, it was ridiculous. But for reference, too, I think this was until, I'd have to go back and check the time stamp exactly. But overall, last night, out of the 12 shots, at one point, Vancouver had 4 power play shots. And at one point, the Canucks had only like 2 or 3, like even strength shots. Now they finished with 7. On 5-on-5, they finished with 8 even strength shots last night. They finished below double digits. So they had 12, but they scored 2 goals. And it was just unfathomable. And then also, too, Luke Schenn led the team in shots with 10 minutes left in the game last night. Now, Ryan O'Reilly, Luke Evangelista turned that page last night. But, man, if the Preds had tied it, gone to overtime, you would have been like, man, Luke Schenn was in the top 5 for shots on goal. I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, it was just a crazy thing to kind of just process. I'm like, why? Like, why? I never would have thought this would have happened. So
I think when you see guys like Luke Schenn kind of step up to the plate and lead the team in shots like that, it's just that veteran leadership kind of showing out.
Yeah,
and
it is.
I don't know. It's going to come down to game four for me of like, is the veteran leadership going to be the impact thing for the Preds, or is it going to be, you know, some young players coming up that are going to be the X factor for the Preds. It's a catch 22.
Well, and Gus Nyquist didn't have a shot last night.
Really?
No.
He nearly had that breakaway and just lost the puck that one time. That was second period,
yes.
I want to say.
I think so, yeah.
It's like an open layup, and you're just like, oh, I misdribbled it.
Yeah,
I
was
like,
dribbled Gus, off his foot.
Yeah. Gus had two missed shots last night, so nothing hit the net. But one question that we've been talking about off the air really quick that I want to bring up is, would you make a lineup change? And I want to ask you guys first before I tell you who I'm going to talk about. And if it's the same guy and you guys want to hit on that thought, then go ahead. But if you had to make a change in the lineup, what would you do? Obviously, it's going to be Tyson Barry more than likely, I would say, because they're not going to know what Spencer has until the next few days. Now, given it's probably pretty apparent with what he's got going on, but what other change would you guys make?
I don't know. It's been such a weird series because it's felt like the better team has lost every game. Like watching game one, I thought the Preds played better outside of 12 seconds where they gave up those two goals and they lost. Then game two, I thought the Canucks should have won based on the way they played in the last 30 minutes of that game, mm-hmm. and they lost by 3 goals.
Yeah.
And then last night, obviously, the Preds outshoot the Canucks by 20 and lose. Yeah. So it's... I feel like things have trended in the right direction in some ways for the Preds. I'd say hold off on making a lineup change for now. If things go bad tomorrow, even if you win the game and you're just not pleased with it, then make the change going to Vancouver. But I think hopefully the Preds got some momentum from the way they finished yesterday's game, can take that into what should be another great atmosphere in Bridgestone Arena tomorrow, and then get back on track.
Yeah.
What about Juuso Parsonen?
Thank you. That's exactly what I was going to bring up. Yeah,
brainwaves.
You know, I guess you mentioned earlier this week, and so did Robbie and so forth, that in the Preds, obviously, Juuso Parsonen was recalled from Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that? Is that more of just a, if somebody goes down, like injury-wise, and you put Parsonen in, you plug him in? Or is it if somebody's not really playing well, do you plug in Parsonen there? Because I see Jake's point. If you make some switches, it's how I perceive it, but if you make some changes to that lineup, you just like, oh, then that kind of deters the momentum of that certain player. It kind of makes their confidence go down a little bit. Do you think that plays a factor into it, or is it a needed change?
I mean, it certainly could, but I think bringing up Parsonen is mainly due to the fact that they need depth, A, and also, B, Milwaukee doesn't play for another week. So you've got that going for him as well. So he has time to go back. Like, if the Predators feel okay or if they get knocked out, they'll just send him back. But it's going to be interesting to see what they end up doing with him. Now, I will say from my visit up to go see him in March, one thing that Carl Taylor told me, their head coach, was they were going through a lot of video with him. They were trying to walk him through situations where he could, you know, maybe look a second longer or maybe look to make this play instead of one he initially would do typically. And I thought from watching those games up there, because they won both games I was there for, but I got the best of some of these guys like a Tomasino, even some of their defenders as well. I thought they really stood out. For Parse, he's got the confidence. I think he's got a little more charisma than he did earlier in the year. Just as a reminder, he was on the top line for 5 or 6 games to start the season with Ryan O'Reilly and Philip Forsberg. That fell off quickly. I'm not saying that that's what he's going to do. But I think if you take out someone, maybe a Tommy Novak, maybe someone that's down the middle there, you put Parsonen in back in the middle, or, you know, you do like what you did with Cody Glass and take out a Novak, maybe swap someone else in center like a Mark Jankowski and then put Parse on the wing. That would probably be a more advantageous pick for the Predators because Jankowski is probably a better faceoff man than Parsonen. But that's what I would do personally.
Yeah, when he was in Milwaukee, and I was looking this up a few days ago, in 36 games, he had 25 points, 7 goals, and 18 assists. So that kind of gives me the notion of, I mean, if you do put him in that center role like where a Novak is, then he could, and everybody's talking about the secondary scoring. Would you say it's more the secondary scoring that needs to be kind of leveled up a little bit, or the creation of shots, the creation of chances? Because would Parsonen actually benefit for that? Because if just looking at the numbers, 18 assists,
right.
That's pretty
he's a playmaker.
Good.
Yeah. He's a big playmaker, and he's got a good shot. He has shown to me at times that he's capable of firing really good chances on net, and he's going to do that. There's no question. I think he'll do more of that once he gets back on the ice and has his chance. I mean, look, Brunette was honest. He said he's here because there's a chance he gets in the lineup. There is an honest chance that he gets in. And so Parse told me, he said he never thought about coming back to Nashville this year either. He had never thought about, okay, if it happens, it happens. Cool. But in the meantime, he knows that his destiny's in control of this organization. Now, reminder too, if he does come in, I wonder how much of an imprint he wants to make, because how much motivation does he have as well? Because he's a pending RFA this offseason. So what does he want to do? Does he want to gut it all out and say, hey, I'm here to stay? So, I mean, not to say that the playoffs is do or die for that situation, but I think for him it'd be a great opportunity to go, I am part of the future here. So we'll see what happens.
Pride's practicing later today ahead of game 4. Make sure you follow Nick Kieser over there, the reporter. You'll have updates as soon as we know anything about that lineup for tomorrow's game. Again, 4 o'clock puck drop. But we got a lot of coverage coming up for you tomorrow for Preds game 4. You can join the Preds playoff excitement with 102.5 The Game at Hank's Bar, your ultimate pre- and post-game destination, located downtown at 419 Broadway. A special live broadcast from 11 to 1 p.m. with Chase McCabe and Adam Vingan, followed by Jared Stillman from 1 to 3 p.m. Cheer on the Preds on the big screens. Enjoy crafted cocktails, mouthwatering dishes, and unbeatable vibes just minutes away from the arena at Hank's Bar this Sunday. And that all leads into our pregame coverage with Max Herz starting at 3 p.m. Again, Preds game 4 tomorrow, 4 o'clock puck drop from Bridgestone Arena. Preds trying to even up the series heading back to Vancouver. We will pick that game later on in this hour, but coming up next on Four's Company, it's our baseball segment. We're going to take a look around the MLB a little bit. Possibly the best series of the year is going on this weekend. It involves a team pretty local to this area, and also a top prospect is making his way to Nashville next week. We're going to chat about that coming up next. Four's Company on this Saturday morning, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
If you smell what The Rock is cooking.
Four's Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Rolling along here in hour number 2. Jake Lyman, Nick Kieser, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt. You can jump in as well. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Text or call. Also, tune in to 102.5, 106.3, The Game today as Vanderbilt baseball takes on Mississippi State. Pregame at 1:45, just a few hours after us. First pitch at 2 p.m. Vanderbilt baseball brought to you by Smoky Mountain Tops, your countertop experts. Visit SmokyMountainTops.com. Time to talk some baseball. We mentioned on this show that we don't feel like baseball gets enough love around here. So we want to spend 15 minutes every single show talking about some baseball. We're going to talk about a top prospect heading to Nashville this upcoming week. But first, let's just look around the MLB a little bit. We talked Vandy baseball last week. Let's talk some big league baseball. A big series going on right now, Braves and Guardians. And no one saw it coming, but the Guardians have been the best team in the American League so far this year. They have been fantastic. Facing off, I believe that series is in Atlanta this weekend. It is.
I believe so, yeah.
In Atlanta. The Braves took game 1 yesterday. Braves, Guardians, 6:20 p.m. first pitch today from Atlanta. Charlie Morton and Tanner Bibby on the mound in that one. Braves, kind of as advertised, they're going to be up there with the Dodgers for that NL pennant this year. I think that is going to be one of the best NLCS series that we have seen in a long time if they match up. But the Guardians as well, they've been really fun to watch so far this year.
I agree. Stephen Kwan, who is in the leadoff spot on a regular, consistent basis, is phenomenal. 343 batting average. I mean, you can't go wrong. The guy's a doubles machine. Puts it in the gap almost every other time. I mean, he'll have his stints where he goes 0-3, 0-4, and, you know, once every 5 games. But, I mean, other than that, he's just been consistent. And, that's what they need out of that leadoff spot.
Guardians right now atop the AL Central. I will mention, I've said I'm a Detroit Tigers fan. Tigers hanging in there. They're playing the Royals today. Tough one yesterday. They were down 1-0 heading into the 9th inning and lost 8-0. Not good when that happens. Did mention we were going to talk about a top prospect coming to Nashville, and I think this is where most of our baseball discussion is going to center today. So Jackson Holliday, number 1 prospect in baseball entering the season, He was called up to the Orioles earlier this month, but it has not gone well for, I believe he's only 19 years old.
Yeah.
Son of Matt Holliday. Mm-hmm. I know we've got some Cardinals fans
legend,
in here.
Baby.
Everybody loves Matt Holliday.
Red jacket guy, for sure.
I wanted to surprise you guys with this on air. I told you I was teasing the stats here for Jackson Holliday.
Mm.
It's worse than you think. 2-for-34, 18 strikeouts. Oof. And the second hit, I believe, came in his last game before he was sent down. So he was 1-for-30 or thereabouts to start off his MLB career. Highly talented player. We saw what he did at AAA. He is still leading AAA, I believe, in many statistical categories. Going to go back and get some confidence down in Norfolk. But it just so happens, Norfolk is in Nashville this week.
Yep.
So the Tides and Jackson Holliday will be playing at First Horizon Park from Tuesday to Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Well, and this, I'm going to give credit to the Baltimore Banner here just for a little bit of background, some research here. It took him 14 games, by the way, to get his first hit. So, but if he's coming to Nashville, look, I like Nashville's pitching staff. So can they kind of keep him at bay? It's going to be exciting to have a top prospect in town. I love when big guys come here, like even if there's someone on assignment, kind of like a Yelich was not that long ago last year. And then even they had Vogelbach that came down at some point as well. It's fun to see like guys that are established, but then again, he's a 20-year-old guy that he's an electric prospect that just a few years ago was high in the draft. But one thing that is putting him down is the pitching matchups. Specific, it's him going up against lefties. Honestly, it's him being young. It's not a knock against him. It's just the experience, the lack of time that he has had so far to see some of these talented arms. And so when that happens, confidence is a huge thing. I'm sure he has plenty of it because he got called up, but now it's about garnering that back up a little bit more and tearing it up with the Tide. Because Jake, you said the Tide had a great start to their season and they kind of fell off when he left, and now he's back. So can they make the Sounds pay for that a little bit?
I will say, though, about Jackson Holliday and those lefty-lefty matchups he was talking about. You know, when you get to the MLB, and especially being at 19, like, there's a maturity factor, and I don't think he's quite there yet. Because if you're a pitcher in the MLB and you see this young, like, rookie, and you're like, oh, man, lefty-lefty matchup, let me just blow, like, one or two 90-plus mile-an-hour fastballs, like, right here at the chest, close to him in the strike zone. If it is a strike, it's a strike. And then that kind of, like, messes with the psyche of the batter. You're like, oh, is he – the batter's thinking, oh, is he going to throw off-speed low and away, or is it going to be a changeup, or is he just going to throw some nasty off-speed inside? Like, and that's what really, when you get down in the count 0-2, you're just like, oh, no, like, what am I going to do? And I feel like that's where Jackson Holliday's headspace is. It's like he's saying, hopefully, you know, you go back down to Norfolk and you kind of try to get your mojo back a little bit.
Yeah, I think he's going to be great. I think he's electric. There are certain things he does that just remind me so much of Matt. Like, I remember watching Matt when I was a kid. I was like six when they won the World Series in 2011. But I just remember Matt being one of my favorite players just because he could hit so well.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like once Jackson finds his mojo, he'll be just like that. But he's great defensively, in my opinion. Yeah. Like, he's pretty locked down.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Gunnar Henderson is a great shortstop for the Orioles. There's a reason he's sliding to third base so Jackson Holliday can play shortstop.
Yeah, exactly.
So I am disappointed, though, because heading into the year, the number one prospect was Jackson Holliday. The number two prospect in Major League Baseball, Jackson Churio on the Milwaukee Brewers.
Mm-hmm.
He spent 1 week in AAA at the very tail end of last season.
Yeah, I remember
and then
that.
Signed a big extension and got called up to the Brewers.
Oh, so it was unreal.
It would have been cool if we could have gotten to see Holliday versus Churio, Jackson versus Jackson here in Nashville.
That would have been cool.
That would have been an electric week over in Germantown at First Horizon Park. Still should be fun this week. I'm sure there are going to be a lot of people heading over there to see Jackson Holliday play. Again, Tuesday through Sunday, the Tides are coming. Sounds still have two more games this weekend in Louisville against the Bats. Got a big win yesterday in a game they had over 20 hits as
a
squad.
Whoa, really?
Yeah, blew it up.
Yeah, because the first three games, they looked pretty bad.
Yeah, they lost the first three in Louisville, but last night I think Rick Sweet might have gotten into them a little bit.
I would say
they,
so.
They lit it up from the word go, scored six runs in the first two innings.
Yeah,
so,
as our great friend Jeff Hinn would say, Sweetie, what are you going to do just to get the boys rolling?
So again, Sounds two games in Louisville this week. And then coming back next week, Tuesday through Sunday, Jackson Holiday and the Norfolk Tides in town. You can listen to all those games on 94.9 select games, maybe on 93.3, depending on Preds playoffs, Vandy baseball, all that going on as well. Looking forward to that. Should be a fun week here in Nashville. Coming up next, it's time to make some predictions, guys. The Titans have 5 picks today in the final day of the NFL draft, which gets underway in just over 30 minutes. Titans will have the 6th pick of the day coming up at 106 in the 4th round. Can I ask the guys in here, who's your sleeper? Who's the guy that the Titans could get today who could make an impact? Text us as well. If you have a sleeper that you really like, you want the Titans to take either at 106 or later on today, 615-737-1025. We'd love to hear your thoughts as well. Going to talk some more draft coming up next. Force Company here on 1025, 1063 at the game. Force Company. Second hour here on 102.5 and 106.3, the game, live and local on this Saturday morning. Jake Lyman, Nick Kieser, Nick Frazier, and Connor Newt playing the jams back behind the glass as we come back here talking some NFL draft. Titans have made 2 picks, took J.C. Latham as the 7th overall pick on Thursday. Tavondre Sweat, the nose tackle out of Texas, was the 38th pick in the 2nd round yesterday. 5 picks today, 1 in the 4th, 1 in the 5th, 1 in the 6th, 2 in the 7th, coming up for Rand Carthon and company. Let's talk about who they could take.
Dreams and nightmares, man.
Dreams and nightmares. Meek Mill. Is that the Eagles ran after that, right, with the Nick Foles Super Bowl?
Yep.
Get up! Did you see that video of Meek Mill the other day?
No.
He was at WrestleMania, and obviously The Rock was fighting, and The Rock was down, hurt, in quotes, and he, in the funniest voice ever, he goes, "Get up!" It's so good,
man.
Again, talking Titans draft here. I tried to find a segue there. I couldn't. There was nowhere to go.
I didn't mean to throw you off.
No, it's okay. It's okay. We like tangents here on Forest Company. It's Saturday morning. We're having fun.
Yeah.
Again, talking about who the Titans might take later on today. I believe we got a little under 30 minutes until the 4th round starts. Yeah. So Titans should be on the clock within the hour at 106. We've got one texter already with a thought. Adam in Portland on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, take the tight end from Texas. That's Jatavion Sanders. He's not a fan of Chig, based on his text. But he says, better than Firkser, but not consistent for Okonkwo. He likes Jatavion Sanders. Do you guys think tight end could be somewhere the Titans look to add here, even with Wiley and Okonkwo already in that room?
Possibly. I mean, they might look at adding, you know, Frazier made a point about a linebacker at the break. But I could see them maybe going to a tight end. I don't know if they would go to one right now to start the day. I think they'd probably look at trying to get someone a little bit more dynamic. Now, as odd as this sounds, Jeremiah Trotter Jr. out of Clemson kind of caught my eye after reading the board a little bit more in depth. He's not the biggest. He's 6 foot, around 230. But I will say, if he's going to force fumbles, if he's going to kind of be, you know, he's not the same spot as like I would say Kevin Byard, you know, because when he was here, I thought he did a good job of forcing those turnovers. Now linebacker's a different spot than what Kevin played, but I think the Titans need some more grit on their defense, and if there's someone that is a specialty and can do that, if that's his X factor per se, I mean, if you want to take a chance on a guy that you can build him up into something special, make him more agile, that might be a pretty good pick too.
Yeah, I think this later round picks for the Titans is what's really going to, I don't want to say make or break their draft, but it's definitely going to set them apart from a lot of other teams because of the lack of, I guess, top picks they've had.
Right.
So if this is what they've kind of put their chips on about the scouts have really been, you know, doing their due diligence with, you know, looking at all these prospects. I mean, if they're going to take pride in that, let's see it. And that's kind of what every Titans fan and anybody that's a spectator in the Nashville area of football, what this, you know, scouting department is going to do. Obviously, I told Kieser and you both in the break that Titans need a linebacker, in my opinion. A linebacker, wouldn't mind an extra secondary piece. And then, obviously, Adam in Portland mentioned about a tight end. Yes, to that question, sure, or that statement, sure. I remember Brian Callahan in one of his press conferences a few weeks back said, yeah, tight ends. We need tight ends. Mm-hmm. Like, we're going to have Chig, we're going to have Wiley, but we need tight ends.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
That is something that is to look at for sure. But I'm looking more on the defensive side with all these later round picks.
We got a few people in our text line giving some thoughts on who the Titans should go after later on today. 2037 says Marcus Harris, the defensive end from Auburn. Like you were saying, Nick, I think the defensive side is where a lot of the remaining holes are. Mm-hmm. Edge rusher would be one of them. Linebacker. David in Arkansas says that he thinks the Titans should draft a kicker. I mentioned that during the break.
I think they could.
He says Cam Little from Arkansas, he said the kid is money. He could solve our kicker issues for years instead of searching for one year after year. And honestly, with Nick Folk already on the team, maybe this is a guy who you can bring in, put him on the practice squad possibly, and he can learn from Nick Folk this year and then become your full-time guy next year. You're not going to roster two kickers, but if you can sneak him through to the practice squad. There are a lot. I know defense is where we've been looking. Obviously, linebacker's a need. Edge rusher's a need. Safety is still probably a need. But there are a lot of good wide receivers still on the board, guys.
Yeah, there is.
I'm looking right now. Troy Franklin, there were a lot of people putting him in the second round. He's fallen. Javon Baker from UCF is a guy who's been mocked on day two. Tez Walker from North Carolina, very talented guy. He missed the first half of this season due to eligibility issues, so maybe didn't get the full view of what he can do this year.
Uh-huh.
But it's going to hurt me here of the guy that I think the Titans should take.
Oh, boy.
For the people in here know, I went to Virginia Tech.
Oh, boy.
For the audience, I went to Virginia Tech. I've been trained and brainwashed my entire life to hate Virginia. I want Malik Washington from Virginia.
Really?
I think he would fit perfectly in the slot in that Tyler Boyd role in this Brian Callahan offense. Watching the Tech UVA game last year, Virginia Tech won that game in blowout fashion. The only player on that UVA team that I think is NFL caliber is Malik Washington, and he was really good, and he is really good. So, again, as much as it pains me, give me the Cavalier.
I like that, and I just clicked on his little bio to give us a little more context. He broke the ACC single-season record with 110 catches in 2023. That's pretty cool. I know that that's not, you know, the more, you want to see something maybe a little more recent aside from that, but the amount of catches and the volume that we're going to have with this staff, you want a guy that has that resume, right? You want him to be catching the ball, and then if he grows into a guy that can break down the field at one point, that would be a pretty smart pick, Jake. I mean, he's 5'9", 190. I'd probably like him to be a little bit bigger, but if that's his specialty, that'd be great. I mean, he's got a pretty good ranking, I would say. His overall ranking is 99, which is cool, so he's right in that top 100. So that is cool to kind of think about a guy that could be another pivotal piece. One guy I kind of thought about on the edge as well out of LSU is Mekki Wingo. So I thought that would be a very fun pick to kind of go after. He had the quickest 10-yard split out of the defensive tackles that ran at the combine this year. So that's a little bit of a tidbit I get from reading about him here. But yeah, could they go defense again? A lot of defenders have gone.
I'll give you a defensive
part.
Guy that I don't think a lot of you are thinking about.
Hmm.
Jaden Hicks, safety out of Washington State.
Okay.
He's pretty elusive. He's got, last season he recorded 43 tackles, 2 interceptions, and 2.5 sacks. Wow. So he's pretty versatile. I really like, they could stick him alongside Imani Hooker, have Hooker drop back, and then you could send Hicks. I feel like that could be an option.
He could be your upgraded side from Kevin Byard, too.
Yes.
There you go.
And remember, Imani Hooker was a 4th-round pick, so you can find really talented guys today, especially Titans picking 6th in the 4th round. There are some really good players still left.
Mm-hmm.
And unless you're going to have Elijah Molden start at your second safety spot, you need somebody there.
Yeah. Exactly.
I do like Connor's comment there about a West Coast secondary player, just because those West Coast offenses going up against defenses like that, they're going to get a lot of action. So, I mean, you're going to get a lot of tape on guys like that especially. And so if you can get a late-round gem like that, yeah, go for it. I will say an honorable mention as well, mentioning about the position itself on offense. Just to ask the audience here and you guys, you think Titans possibly go for a late round offensive tackle maybe? As like an extra depth piece?
Maybe someone that doesn't make it through camp. Yeah.
Okay. But you think more free agency after the draft?
Possibly. Rain's plan has kind of been finding talent that's underrated. Okay. So
I kind of like that, though.
Yeah,
in the sixth
I
or seventh round, I know we're acting like Bill Callahan is the guru, and he is, but we're acting like he knows everything. But honestly, I wouldn't hate if you just tell Bill Callahan, hey, one of these late picks is yours. Sixth, seventh, pick your favorite late round offensive tackle. We'll take him.
Mm-hmm.
If he's great, you just got yourself a starting offensive lineman in the seventh round. If he's not, you didn't really waste much. So
no.
I kind of like that. Just say, hey, yeah. Bill Callahan, we know you're good with projects. Find your project who you think has potential, and we'll take him.
Yeah.
I mean, the way they describe J.C. Latham is like, you know, you're transitioning from the right to left side. It's going to be a little bit of a work in progress, like you just mentioned there. If it's a work in progress, yeah, like give him a seventh-round pick.
And one thing, too, and I kind of want to go back to our kicker comment for just a second, because why not entertain it? So the more recent person that was taken before round five was Jake Moody. He went to the 49ers.
Yep.
Before that, before Jake Moody, someone taken before it's in the first three rounds. Sorry. So the last person taken in the last three rounds before Jake Moody goes all the way back to 2016,
Roberto
Aguayo. Yeah, that's right.
Out of Florida State.
Isn't that wild?
He was awful with the Bucs.
He was.
But everybody wanted to find their Justin Tucker. Everyone's still looking for the next Justin Tucker. Yeah. He does not exist.
You see all those kids kick those field
UFL,
goals.
That
you know?
Michigan kicker with the UFL.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The Panthers. That dude has a leg.
Yeah.
It's a leg.
We'll see. I wouldn't mind taking a kicker. Again, in the seventh round, not everybody's finding Brock Purdy.
No.
Like you have to know what you're looking for.
Exactly.
And if there's a kicker that the Titans really like and say, hey, we don't want to let him become an undrafted free agent, we want him, pick him at 242 or 252. That wouldn't bother me at all. Jules on our text line wants the Titans to go wide receiver, Javon Baker or Troy Franklin. I think both of those guys are good picks, good value at 106 if they fall there. I really don't know what the Titans are thinking here at 106. They've gone trenches with the first two. I would think linebacker, receiver, safety. I would think it's one of those three spots.
I would agree with you, and it's going to be fun to see here in the next 15 minutes when the draft starts. I also want to see how many trades there are going to be because they were pretty busy last night. They really were kind of watching the Preds game and keeping an eye on the draft. It was kind of interesting to see how many people were trading around and moving around.
It felt like everyone but the Titans traded out of their early second-round pick, which was interesting.
One thing I liked a lot as a Saints fan was getting Kool-Aid. I mean, that was a great pick to move up for, too.
Yeah, there were some good some teams that had good drafts. I wrote this down for earlier. The Chargers have the Titans' ideal draft, what all the fans wanted, with Joe Alt, Ladd McConkey, and Junior Colson so far. I think Titans fans would have signed up for that in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
I like Washington's, too. They got Jaden Daniels, Johnny Newton from Illinois, and then Mike Samristil, the corner from Michigan, who Nick Saban said, pound for pound, is his favorite player in the draft class.
Yeah.
So
that's right.
Did he tamper for him, too?
It's possible.
I feel like he would come out and say that since he's just pretty transparent these days.
Our friend Brandon Aldrich, one of the producers here, was very happy with the draft, I believe.
Yeah.
I was messing with him the other day. He's a Washington Commanders fan, for those listening. I told him, I am going to get you on video when the Commanders take J.J. McCarthy at number two, and he did not like me.
Yes, the J.J. McCarthy smoke ended up not being quite as much as everyone thought as he went 10th overall. All right, well, that's our draft talk for the day. Titans day three coming up. Again, day three of the draft starts in 15 minutes. Titans should be on the clock shortly thereafter for their first of, as of now, five picks today. We'll see if that's more or less as we go along. We'll take our final break here. When we come back, we're going to make some picks for the weekend. Are the Preds going to win tomorrow in game four? We have a new team enter the fray that we're going to pick coming up in a second, and also everybody's wild cards coming up. That's up next. You're on Force Company, 102.5, 106.3 at the game.
Get up!
Force Company wrapping up the show on this Saturday morning, 102.5, 106.3 at the game. Connor referenced the Meek Mill get up.
That was it.
There it is.
We can hear it again later if you want.
That wasn't him. You were not him.
That was Meek Mill. That was not me. I promise you.
I think it would be funnier if it was you into the mic.
I'll do it. I'll do it next week.
Jake Lyman, Nick Kieser, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt here again wrapping up the show. Plenty to look forward to this weekend. Titans draft the rest of the afternoon. Nashville Cats later on today. Sounds baseball, Vanity baseball, and of course the headliner, the Nashville Predators game 4 against the Canucks tomorrow afternoon. Let's make some picks, guys. We will start with that headliner, the Nashville Predators, down 2-1 in the series to the Vancouver Canucks, trying to even it up at 2. Nick Frazier, do they get it done?
I don't want to sound like a homer, but yes, they do. I've picked the Preds almost in every game that we've been on the air, which is 2 weeks in a row. So, well, let's put it this way. Yes, I'm going to be taking the Preds. I think they get it done 4-2.
I forgot to mention, I wanted to mention our records from last week.
Oh yeah.
Let's talk
do.
About it. Let's
yep.
talk
Connor
about
Newt
it.
Was the only one. We made three picks each.
Yep.
Connor Newt on a technicality, because we all picked the Preds to split in Vancouver.
Yes.
He picked the right order of wins. So we'll give Connor Newt the 2-1 finish last week. The rest of us went 1-2. Frazier, you've got the Preds winning game 4. Kieser, do you think they get it done?
I don't think they do. I think the Predators are going to lose. It's going to be a tight one. I think this will be the tightest game of the series thus far, probably of the NHL playoffs. Now, through the first two games of the series, it was the least amount of combined shots in a while. I couldn't remember what the year was, but it's wild. The shot counter has been weird, but just in general, the team effort, it's going to come down to it being very tactical because both of these teams are too similar. So I just think Vancouver comes out on top. It's going to be another one-goal game, if you ask me. I don't know if it requires overtime because both of these teams have sat on it. We parked the bus earlier, you know. So, yeah, unfortunately, I give this edge to Vancouver. Now, if we talked about the next game, I'd probably take Nashville in that one. But I think they're going to lose at home. I don't think they have the mojo right now. I just don't.
All right, Frazier going with the Preds. Kieser with the Canucks. I'm going to be a homer, too. I'm going with the Preds. I think they're going to finally get to DeSmith. They got to him a little bit in game 2, but I think they're due for a game where the goaltending mismatch favors them. Because it should.
Yeah.
UC Saros is a better goalie than Casey DeSmith.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's how it's going to go in game 4. I think the Preds take that home ice advantage and get the series back even at 2 heading back to Vancouver. Connor Newt, Preds or Canucks?
I'm going to go WHMR too. I think it's Preds. I think they know that last night's performance was unacceptable. They're at home. They don't want to let the fans down. The fans are going to come back louder, including me. Come see me if you're there. I'm the dashing man with good looks. I'll be hanging out in Barrel House at pregame with Max Hurst. Anyways, I'm going to take the Preds. I think they come back with a vengeance. They're going to play angry. And honestly, I think they know that Casey DeSmith is very much a backup goalie, and I think they get to him. So I think the Preds will win by at least 2 goals.
All right, so we got 3 on the Preds. Nick Kieser, the only one on the Canucks, taking a 3-1 series lead. Next up, I'm going to test everybody's Arena Football League knowledge. I know that we don't know a ton, but the Nashville Cats are starting off their new season, taking on the Minnesota Myth tonight at 7:30, and you can hear that game right here on 102.5, 106.3, the game with coverage starting at 7 with Eli Gold and Pete Weber.
That's going to be fun.
That'll be fun, having those two legends on the mic together. I'll be back here running the board in the studio, so I get to listen to those two guys go at it. I'll start us off here. I'm going with the Nashville Cats, because why not? Do I know anything about either team? No. But I am going to go with the Nashville Cats, starting 1-0 on the season.
Okay,
I'm going to follow Jake on that. I think the Cats do get it done, just because, like, it's at a historic auditorium, man, here in Nashville. And I feel like this town is hungry for the Nashville Cats game. Arena Football back, I would love to see, like, 8 different touchdowns, different scores, that is. That'd be kind of cool. So,
how much scoring is there in the AFL?
It's only, like,
a lot, right?
A 50-yard field, right?
Yeah.
Maybe less. That's
Maybe.
Including the end zones.
Kurt Warner played Arena Football, correct?
Yes.
Yes, because he... I saw that Zachary Levi movie, and I remember seeing that. So,
yeah.
Kieser, you got the Cats?
Yeah, I was trying to figure out our dimensions really quick. Yes, I believe it is 50 yards. I would take the Cats in this as well. No idea what will happen, but, hey, the Cats are back, baby. Can't be more excited for that.
Are we going clean sweep? Connor Newt?
Clean sweep because I got nothing. I mean, I don't know anything about the Cats. I like Eli Gold, though, and I want to make him happy. So, and I love Pete Weber. He's teaching me German right now. So I'll pick the Cats.
Yeah, he does that from time to time. He's doing the same thing with me.
I can't repeat any of the German because, well, A, I don't want to say it correctly, and B, I'm not going to tell you the other reason.
You can practice them on your dates, Connor.
There you go.
What, do they have a saying? Like, there's Tighten Up, Smashville, Scratch 'em Cats. Something like that.
No,
go Cats,
hold
baby.
On.
Go it's, Cats. Yeah. We'll figure it out.
It's somewhere. But go ahead,
Jim. Running out of time, let's go to our wild cards. Everybody go around the room. What's a pick that you feel strongly about this weekend? Nick Kieser's looking it up, so Nick Frazier, why don't you start us off?
Yes. This is going for next Friday, Friday Night Footy, Australian Rugby League, the NRL. I know people are going to give me bad blood about this, but hey, Max Herz, if you're out there, it's not the Ballyhoos. This is the Brisbane Broncos, my favorite team, going up against the Sydney Roosters. This is a 7-6 matchup. You know, Reese Walsh, you know, those guys have just been hurt majority of the time. They got a healthy squad. This is the Vegas redemption game because they played in Vegas in week one. Give me the Brisbane Broncos to win by 11 or more points. I love it. I love it. Give me three try scores for Reese Walsh, baby. Love it.
Nick Kieser, what's your wild card?
I'm going to stay in hockey. And the game this evening that I would just want to bank on, I think that they would get this done for the clean sweep, the Hurricanes over the Islanders.
I am going to go with a sweep as well, but it's two games left. I'm going the Golden Knights sweep the Dallas Stars. That series has not gone well for Dallas. I think Vegas ends up making it a clean sweep at home.
Okay.
Connor Newt, send us home here.
I'll keep it short and sweet. Lakers get swept by the Nuggets. And by the way, Max Herz on that Arena Football League thing.
It doesn't matter what you think.
There you go.
Yes, we covered all leagues that you could possibly imagine today on Four's Company. Guys, fun show. This was a blast.
Yeah.
Show 2 for us here on Four's Company. We'll be back next Saturday again, 9 to 11. Enjoy the rest of the draft. Enjoy the Preds on Sunday. That'll do it for us. 102.5, 106.3, the game.